that just because towards the end of the year you go like, oh, that's it, I'm done. You know what, I'm going to try and do whatever that I didn't get to do. But can I reassure you that you know, most of the time we don't actually, everything we plan to do, we actually don't get to do when we're resting. It's so funny. But I just want to encourage you. I hope this message would encourage you today. Because God's kind of rest is not about switching off. But it's about making room for the presence of God to refill you. I'm going to repeat that. God's kind of rest is not switching off, but making room for his presence to refill you. Amen? So the perfect story. So my sermon title today is Make Room for the Light. I didn't realize it was the same thing for making room for the light in the garden. I didn't realize it was the same title, even though I was probably the one that said yes and I've forgotten. Sorry, guys. But maybe there is something that we need to emphasize today is how do we make room for the light? And one of the stories that we can glean from today is actually the story of Mary. The story of Mary, how, you know, her life was all kind of planned out, but it was interrupted. But she didn't run away from it and she didn't rush to it. But what she did was she paused, she prepared her heart, and she positioned herself to carry the light. Amen? And let's pray. Father, I thank you, Lord, that today's word is from you. It's not from me. Lord, your word, Father God, today is to speak to us, to tell us again what it means to pause, what it means, Father God, to prepare, and what it means, Father, to position ourselves towards the end of this year and facing 2026, Father God, with such a delight. So, Father, I ask, oh, Father God, Lord, that even right now, under the sound of my voice, Father God, Lord, Holy Spirit, you are speaking, you are preparing, you are softening their hearts, Father God, that every ears that has wax, Father God, clear it out right now in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Lord, let your word, not my voice, your word, Father God, will come and speak to the hearts of your people today. So, Father, thank you. Thank you, Lord. Use me. Use me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to look at the scripture today from Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. If you've got your Bible, or if you don't have it, if that's big enough for you to see, just follow through, okay? So it's from verse 26. It says, in the sixth month of Elizabeth's pregnancy, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. By the way, when I was trying to read this morning, my husband was correcting my pronunciation. He said, you got to stress on the D. And so I tried to sound all British. But I said, oh, that sounded really good. Maybe I said I could do it at church. See if you all would like or not. Shall I try? Hurrah. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered, sorry, I can't do it. I could do it at home. All right, so the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are highly favored. The Lord is with you. And then Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you are to call him Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over Jacob's descendants forever, and his kingdom will never end. And I'm just going to change to the translation, to the Passion Translation, and from verse 34. And it says, Mary said, but how could this happen? I'm still a virgin. Then Gabriel answered, the Spirit of holiness will fall upon you, and Almighty God will spread his shadow of power over you in a cloud of glory. This is why the child born to you will be holy, and he will be called the Son of Man. What's more, your aged Aunt Elizabeth has also become pregnant with a son. The barren one is now in her sixth month. Not one promise from God is empty of power. For nothing is impossible with God. I think someone needs to hear this. I'm going to repeat this again. Some of you are waiting for God's promises and it hasn't actually come to pass. But I want to tell you and remind you in verse 37, not one promise from God is empty of power. Whoa. Did you hear that? Not one promise from God is empty of power, for nothing is impossible for God. And then Mary responded saying, this is amazing. You know, I don't know how to read this part because it felt like so not real. But you know, I can imagine because she loves God and she would say, this is amazing. I will be a mother for the Lord. As his servant, I accept whatever he has for me. So may everything you have told me come to pass. And the angel left. You know, Mary's story begins in an ordinary rhythm. She was planning for a wedding, living her life. She was very young. But then heaven interrupted her life. And by the way, that's how God comes. Not when you are ready, not when you have it all together, but it is actually when you are available. That's when God comes, when you are available. And I've said it before, we are probably looking out for a break. But what if God wants to interrupt your rhythm? What if everything that you plan for during the school holidays or this Christmas holidays, the fact that you are going to Japan or somewhere else, that God is interrupting your rhythm? Not to burden you, but to breathe on you. God is never, never to burden you, but he's wanting to breathe on you. Yeah? Amen? If you believe that, you say amen. So one of the first steps to do that is to actually make room for the light is to pause. So the first step we need to do is pause. You know, one of the things that Pastor Matt Sen, from Thailand, not from Thailand, he's from here, but our Thailand missionary, one of the things that he said about us when he came to visit us is about pausing to pray. You know, and I felt again, the Lord says, remind them again, we need to pause because we've done so much this year. We've done a whole lot this year. But what does pause look like? What does it actually look like? So first of all, he interrupts you. Because anything that is going normally, how your plan is, even like, oh, this whole week, God interrupted me so much. I just have to laugh. And I'm like, all right, God, you go, God. You do what you have to do. But how many of us would actually say, go, God? How many of us would actually say that? We actually will stop and say, wait, God. Let me get my snack first. Hold on. Wait. And then maybe the next time you said, okay, are you just about to sit down with God? And then someone texts you. And then you start looking and you get distracted. And then what else does he do? You know, like, oh yeah, okay, I'm coming back to, okay, God, I'm listening. But no, we don't pause. We just keep on continuing. We are so, so filled with distraction. This world is very distracting. It's very discouraging. And one of the things that the enemy comes is to deceive us, to distract us, and to discourage us. And when we're not spending time with the Lord, when we're not knowing how to pause and say, Lord, I'm making you first. God, I'm actually saying, Lord, I want to hear what you have to say. Lord, let your will be done, not my will be done. We don't normally say that. We always have a list of things. God, I want to do this. Make sure I get through this, okay? Lord, I want this. I want this job. I want to make sure my children goes into this school. That we have a list of things. But never once did we ever say, Lord, it's not my will, but let your will be done. Scary. but truth. But the Lord is asking us to pause. He's saying, can you let me interrupt your rhythm? Yeah? Let me interrupt your rhythm. If you love Korean series watching like me, I do. I have to repent of it many times. But then the Lord said to me, he said, can I interrupt you? I don't know about you, but sometimes when I'm watching a Korean drama, especially the one I'm watching right now is called Dynamite Kiss. So cool. Anyway, it's so cool. But you know what the Lord is actually telling me? He said, hey, Rin, can you come? Can you come away with me? And I said, oh, yeah, okay. All right. I'll stop it. And I go into my prayer room and just spend time with him and talk to him because he wanted to tell me things for you today. That's what he's saying. We prioritize a lot of things. Other things that are actually is not of eternal value. But God is asking us and saying, hey, I am the eternal value. Would you pause? Would you pause for me to hear me and spend time with me and hang out with me? He wants to breathe on you, not burden you. He is not waiting for you to have it all perfect and have it all together, but he steps into really in the middle of your life. And that's how he did it with Mary. Mary's Nazareth became God's doorway to the world. My friend, true rest begins with allowing God to interrupt your normal rhythm. That is how true rest begins. Because if you identify the rest that you want to make it and how it looks like, can I reassure you, that ain't true. But unless God is leading you in this way of rest. But mind you, I was telling to Pastor Jeremy the other day and I said, I do not like the word burnt out. So if you come up to me and say that I'm doing a lot of work, oh, Pastor Rina, you don't know how to stop. I said, oh, don't tell me the word burnt out. That is a taboo word for me. I do not. That's something within me because for me, the word burnt out is that when someone gets to that place, that means they are not spending enough time with God. But I said, I do get tired. Yeah? Who doesn't feel tired when you stay up so late watching drama? Yeah? Or who doesn't get tired when we walked around the neighborhood? I don't know about you guys. Whoever went on that walk, the next day, I felt like I've been hit by a bus. I felt like, what is this? I walk Wallace every day, and yet that walk got me so tired. When I woke up in the morning and spent time with the Lord, I was just telling the prayer team this afternoon, I said that, Daddy God, can I sleep in? Can I sleep in? I know I'm supposed to pray right now. And then an intercessor from Singapore called me 6:30 in the morning saying, are you ready to pray, Pastor Rina? And I said, oh God, yes, okay, not really. I said, why don't you would like to start to pray, Pastor Rina? I said, no, you can pray, you can start. but you know what? But when you're tired, you rest. When you're physically tired, you rest. When you're mentally tired, you sleep. Rest. Sleep is so good. It's actually such a spiritual thing to sleep. And one of the things I would really love for us as a church, us as just individuals, but I say as a church as First Light, that we learn to observe the Sabbath, that we learn to pick a day to really, really, really rest. Mine is Saturday. So do not call me on a Saturday. Don't disturb me. You can text me. You can call me. But I will not answer because I want to spend the day with my Jesus. But have that. And also with family, if that was the case. But have some time with family, with Jesus. And with family. But if there's life loss and bloodshed, call Kenyon, okay? All right, so that will come through. I will not touch the phone. So my friends, Mary's yes begin when she paused to notice God's presence. Her yes has brought a lot of change. But before that, I want to ask this question to you. When was the last time you paused? When was the last time you let God interrupt your routine? So the next step, what we need to do is to prepare ourselves. So Mary's first response wasn't faith. She wasn't in faith. She was, I think she would be so fearful, wouldn't she? Wouldn't she be? But it was actually in confusion. But she stayed in the conversation long enough for faith to form. My friends, preparation often happens in the wrestle between what we don't understand and what we choose to believe. I'm going to repeat that again. Preparation often happens in the wrestle. I don't know about you. When Crystal was sharing just now that she was, oh, there was so much chaos. There was so much things going on. Like nothing was working for her. I think this message is for you, Chrissy. But it says actually here, it says that preparation often happens in the wrestle between what we don't understand and what we choose to believe. Sometimes we have to ask God in that moment, in that wrestling, what is actually happening? What is actually happening within me? Is it fear, Lord? Is it disappointment? What fears or disappointment it might be taking up that space where your faith should live? What is that? Is it fear of tomorrow or disappointment of yesterday's? Maybe your team, maybe your workplace, maybe your families, maybe your husband, maybe your wife, maybe your children. What we need to replace those fears and disappointment is actually faith. God is saying that, hey, so that's exactly how Mary felt. You go like, you know what, I'm confused here. I don't know what's going on. Like probably a lot of things going through her mind at that very moment instead of faith. But she didn't run away. She stood there long enough. She stayed there long enough. She didn't just say, I'm going to give up. Sorry, Gabriel. I'm running out of here. I ain't staying here. This is not my thing. Go pick another woman. Not me. But she stayed long enough for faith to form within her. What would it look like to say yes? To say yes to God. What would it look like to say, let it be me according to your word, even before you understand how? I'm going to ask that question again. What would it be? What it would look like to say, let it be to me, God, according to your word, even before you understand how? Most of the times, I can bet you, I can ask every person in the room, even if I ask Wes right now, Wes, could you do this for me? You will not say yes to me immediately. You will actually say, why, how, when, what do I need to do? Da, 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 da. No way. Most of the time, when God says something, we will question probably 100 times and say, are you sure, God? Is this for real? No. Maybe someone else should be doing this. Not me, God. You know, I wanna honor Siu Chin, actually. You know, Siu Chin has a heart. I know you didn't expect this. I wanna honor Siu Chin. I didn't expect this either. You know, she really has a heart to feed people. And, you know, all she wanted was to feed people and talk about Jesus and have a nice fellowship time. That's what she wanted to do. She didn't want money. She doesn't want anything of the sort. And all she wants is that I want people to eat and I want people to know about Jesus, to talk about Jesus in the conversation. So she has started Joy's Kitchen. Joy's Kitchen? Something like that. Joy's Kitchen every first and third Wednesday of the month. First and third Friday of the month. And then, you know, with her, and she's an intercessor, by the way. She prays so much. And the Lord is slowly bringing people bit by bit. And you know what? She didn't even go and announce it to the whole wide world. But just like Mary, she held it deep within her. God was preparing her. She didn't know how, but she was trusting God in those little small steps that God was actually showing her. And how many times have you done it so far? Twice? Three times. Three times already. And you know what? She's still going to continue doing it in this whole holidays time. She's not going to stop. Now that to me is that when God births something in you, He's already made you pause. He said, now I've got to do something about it. And He has prepared her to actually fulfill what He wants through her. Isn't that great? Aish, so good. You know, if the Holy Spirit were to overshadow you with His presence, just take a moment. If the Holy Spirit were to overshadow you with His presence, like the way He did for Siu Chin, like the way He did for Mary, and like He did for a lot of us in this room as well. But if you are not in that place, I want to say to you that if the Holy Spirit were to overshadow you with His presence, what part of your heart would you need to surrender to make room for Him? What part in your heart that you need to surrender to make room for Him? You see, Mary's yes changed everything in her. Changed her body. She got pregnant. Changed her reputation. Changed her future. And my friends, when we say yes to God, God always changes something. He doesn't make you stay in that same place. And my friends, Mary's yes was not passive. It was powerful. It was so powerful. What she was saying yes to is to God's promises. What she was saying yes to is to His plans. What she is saying yes to is, you know, for some of us, I'll still say yes to my marriage. I'll still say yes to my divorced partner. I will still, divorced partner in the sense praying for them, okay? Not to go back. But okay, sorry. Let me correct that. But you know what? Let me, what is God saying yes to? Asking you to say yes to. He's got a plan, my friends. And the only way He can fulfill His promises and His plans is actually through our participation. He cannot do anything if you're just going to sit there and say, nope, forget it, or you ignore Him. He can't. He can't do that for you. He's wanting our participation. And He is such a gentleman. He will not force it upon you. He is kind. He is good. He is wonderful. He is tender. He is loving and He is caring. You know, we human beings are not that loving and caring at times. But He is. He is good and He is caring. You know, I just want to say that when we said yes to going out to do the prayer walk, when we said yes to going out to do the caroling, you know what I felt? There was a shift in this church. Did you all sense it, whoever that's been and gone? Yes? There was a shift in this church. And not only that, I felt something beautiful was being birthed out. There was unity, there was openness, and the grounds even out there was actually softening. God was actually doing something within the community out there. And we have a call. We have a mission. We have a mission out there. You know, one of the words that has been prophesied over our church is to send out 100 missionaries out of this church. How is that possible? How do we send out 100 missionaries out of this church? Easy. I can send you all out now, one by one. Because you know what? All of you have someone that God has entrusted you with. But if you don't ask, you won't know, right? Everyone has one. Everyone, no matter what age you are. I love the fact that, you know, Tegan even brought her friend, Vinalee, and she gave her life to Christ. Yeah? Who else? Who else? Who else that we have brought someone, that someone who needs to know Jesus, not just you, but someone as well. And you know, I just thought about how do we make room? How do we prepare ourselves, right? You know, when a guest is coming over to your house, what do? You set up the place, right? You move everything aside. You go like, I'm going to make room. I'm going to make room. I'm going to make everything nice and neat. And the preparation maybe looks like, oh, I need to remove all the clutter. You know, and something I need to do when this holidays, by the way, I need to remove the clutter so I can make room more for God in my life. Crystal is bugging me about it. She said, you got to clean, you got to declutter, declutter, declutter. So I'm taking her note. You see, we got to listen to each other. Not. She. Whenever she says that, she pushes me, but then I know it's for my own good. And sometimes we need people like that in our lives, don't we? Sometimes we need a bit of being nagged. Not wife nagging husbands. Okay? Can I correct that? Not wives nagging husband. Wives, you are not called to nag. You're called to support. That's what Eugene said. Support, pray, do what you have to do. That's another story. Anyway. The third thing that you need to do. So you got to prepare yourself. You got to prepare for God what God is going to do. And how you do that, we're going to read on the screen. The third thing you need to do is position yourself. So it says here that in verse 32, 33, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And in his kingdom, he will know no end, I think it's supposed to be. And his kingdom will never end. And verse 37, it says, not one promise from God is empty of power. And my friends, when Mary said yes, she didn't rush to make things happen. But she carried that promise. She carried it quietly. She carried faithfully until the end. She didn't go around telling other people about it and telling her frustration and being upset or gossiping or some sort of like that, or, you know what, I'm what's going to happen to me? She didn't do any of that, but she held on. She carried that promise. She carried the living Christ in her. My friends, that is the way we position ourselves. That's how we position ourselves, not striving, but stewarding what God has begun. When God releases a word on you, for you, we take that word, we take that promise and say, Lord, don't go out and tell the whole wide world and blabber it to every Tom, Dick, and Harry. Don't do that. But what you do is you hold it. You pray it until God says it's time. When the word, because he is faithful to finish the work that he has started. Not only that, he will not let his word return to him void. So if you're struggling in any areas, either in your relationships with someone, with a friend, with your spouse, with your children, with anybody, it's always about relationship, because that's how the enemy wants to come, yeah, and attack us. It's actually through friendships, through relationships. No other way that he will come. Oh, yes, he will. Probably make you lose a job or something like that or whatever. But one of the first ways he does is through relationships. He does want to come and steal, kill, and destroy. He comes to distract, deceive, and discourage you. Don't let that happen. I'm going to close. I just want to remind you that when you position yourself, I want you to remember that you already have it. You know, Kelvin shared before when we were about to take communion, he said that it's no longer we who live, but Christ who lives in us. It's no longer, what was the verse? She's from Romans, right? What did you say? Romans 8, which... The same spirit that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. He lives in you. Mary had to carry Jesus for real. You only have to carry the spirit of Christ in you. It's not heavy. It's not heavy. She had to carry 9 months. We have a lifetime with Jesus. Isn't that great? So good. So, so good. You know, let your rest be a womb, a place where God forms something new this holidays. So when we return, right, we're not tired, but we're excited. We're not empty, but full. Because we are carrying His presence, my friend. We are carrying the presence. We are carrying His presence, His kingdom, His reign. Not consumers of His work. We're not consuming His work. And the light that God has, right, is not just for us to admire. It's to be carried. Is to shine. You're not called to hide away, my friends. You're called to shine. So if you're going on holidays, you, like I said earlier on, it's not about switching off. It's about really wherever you step, wherever you go, you are shining. You are carrying the spirit of the living God inside of you. And what is a better way to do this? You know, as I come to the end of this message, and really the end of another year together, I want us to take a moment to pause. You know, we talked today about making room for the light, learning to pause, to prepare our hearts, and position us to carry what God is doing. And sometimes making room means times to slow down, long enough to listen. I think a lot of us are not willing to listen. You can ask my mom that many times. Right, Mom? Do I listen much? Not really. But I'm listening to God, right? Yes, she can agree with that with a big smile. Thanks, Mom. But I want to learn to listen. Listen more. Reflect more. Notice where His light has been shining on us. And before we step into Christmas this year, I'd love for us to do something that helps us not just to help us just to do that, how to pause. And it's called our heartbeat check. So what I'm going to ask you all to do, if you take out your phones, this is the time that you take out your phones. If you were taking your phones before for notes, well done. But if not, it's okay. If you're texting your friends, I hope you're telling them about Jesus and not about preparing where you're going to meet up for lunch or dinner, sorry. You know, I want you to just take a moment with this. And if we have some music playing in the background with Jason, if you can do that, please. Thank you. You know, it's not a survey. It's a moment of prayerful reflection. It helps us to listen to what the Spirit has been doing in us personally and also as a church family. And as we go through these questions, please don't rush them. It doesn't take long, actually. It's very fast. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. We want each and every one of you to do this, yeah? Not just because we want to hear where you're at. We want to hear what God is doing in you and through you and how we can move together as a church. And if you don't have a phone or you don't like filling up through a phone, there's also hard copies here if you want some. As you go through the questions, don't rush them. Ask the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Lord, where have we been? Where have you been at work in me this year? Maybe these are the questions you need to ask. What are you inviting me to grow? Where do you want your light to shine brighter? Take this moment to be your pause before the year ends. This is your Mary moment to ponder on what God is doing in your heart.